Good evening. It's certainly good to see everyone out tonight. I'm encouraged by your presence, and I'm thankful, as I always am, when I get the opportunity to stand before you, to our elders, for this opportunity. And probably don't say it enough, I'm thankful to my wife, who agrees to be a single parent while I have to go away to study. So I'm grateful to a lot of people. I appreciate Buzz leading the songs. I appreciate the prayer, Jerry. And again, I appreciate your presence. And tonight we're going to talk about Psalm 84 as we conclude our sermons in Psalms. And this is written by a man. If he had to put a title on it, I think he would put, "I love to worship." And I don't know how the other guys pick out sermon topics, but for me it's real simple. When I get the opportunity, I figure I need to study on something that I need. And this is something I need. Sometimes I don't always have the right attitude when I come through these doors into God's house. And so when I read a psalm like this about a man who's writing from his heart, how he loves to worship, I think, I need to improve. There's plenty of room for improvement. And so tonight, let's look together at the words that he writes and see if we can't make application in our life. He starts off with the first four verses. He says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." So he starts off expressing this emotion. God, I want to be near you. I want to be near your altar. Now, remember that this psalmist lived under the old law. And so he would have only had three times a year when he would have been able to go to the temple and worship. We see that in Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose. So he didn't get to come every week like we do, but only three times a year. And it may not have been as convenient as it is for us to come in here in an air-conditioned building. You know, we drive here in our cars, and most of us don't live more than 15 minutes from here. So we get to come into this place. But it may have been more difficult for him to go and to worship God. And yet he says, I look forward to that. I want to do that. That's the very thing he's looking forward to, is worship. And we also see this, and David felt the same way. All those kids quoted this verse, Matt. Psalm 122, verse 1. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David said, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. And for us today, genuine worshipers should long to be in the presence of God. We should long to spend time with God. But do we always? You know, I should try to have the attitude that this psalmist has, the same level of excitement that he has. I should have it, but if I don't have it, I should be trying to have it, trying to work toward that. We should say, I get to be in the presence of the Creator tonight. I get to go into His house. I get to be around other Christians. I get to sing songs of praise to God. I get to hear the Word of God revealed through His Spirit. I get to speak to God through Christ in prayer. I get to remember the Lord's death for my sins, as we did this morning. I get to give back some of what God has given to me. When we consider those things, being in the presence of God around other Christians, singing to God, hearing His Word, talking to Him, giving back, remembering His death, we ought to be excited, but sometimes it's like, we got church today. I've had a long day at work, or it's been a long weekend, or I stayed out late on Saturday, or whatever, and it's like, we got church today. And when I feel that way, certainly don't have the attitude this psalmist has, and I certainly don't have an attitude that's pleasing to God. So, why is that? Why is it? Why is it that I feel that way? What is it that's worrying me? What is it that's holding me back? Is it sickness? Is it sickness for me? Is it sickness for you? You know, we have a lot of worries in life, and for those who maybe you're getting older, or maybe you're young and you have to deal with sickness. And that's one of those things that stays on your mind all the time. You know, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to get well? Am I going to get better? How much worse is this going to get? And so even when we come to worship, a place where we ought to check that at the door, we don't. We bring it with us. You know, this ought to be a place where, yes, if I'm sick, or yes, if you're sick, we feel better being here. Why? Because we realize this body's not permanent. But I have a soul that is. This body is breaking down, but I have a soul that won't. This body gets depressed and feels distress, but I have a soul that can live in a wonderful environment for all of eternity. And so being here, even if we're sick, ought to make us feel better. It ought to be something that we're excited about. Or, you know, maybe you have problems at work. You know, lots of times if you have problems at work, you bring it home with you. You know, it ends up giving you problems at the house. And maybe those problems at work, or maybe the problem is you can't get work if you're unemployed, and you come to church and you bring that frustration with you. And so we're not excited about worshiping God because we have this other stuff on our mind. You know, the other stress of work. We shouldn't have that here. There's not that expectation of work to get done. We get to come in here and praise God, sing to God, be thankful for all the blessings that we do enjoy. You know, if you can't get work, maybe you feel rejected. But we don't feel rejected in here. And God's not going to reject us if we acceptably serve Him. Or maybe you have marital problems. And it happens. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you avoid having marital problems. Some do. And maybe you bring that in the door with you too. But again, this is a perfect place to set that beside, you know, away from you. Hopefully, you and your spouse, this is the common ground that you have, that you can worship together. And maybe that can be a foundation for working out some of the other problems. And if it's not, at least maybe you're away from the home, can put that aside for a little bit to worship God, to get refreshed before you go home and work on those problems. Maybe you have problems with your parents if you're a young person. Maybe they have a curfew. They expect you to be home at a certain time. Or maybe you have problems with your kids if you're older. They can't make it home by curfew. But whatever that problem is, we shouldn't bring that with us here. This is an opportunity to worship God. Maybe we have problems with our friends or with our peers. Maybe they're pressuring you to do something that you don't want to do. Again, this is a place we can get away from that. We don't have to deal with that while we're here. We don't feel peer pressure when we're within these walls, when we're worshiping God, when we're together. So the psalmist understood that when he was in the presence of God, when he was worshiping God, when he was focused on God, he was just like that bird he mentioned, without a care in the world. That's why he loved to be in the presence of God. He could let go of everything else and just enjoy worshiping God. He could find strength in God. He continues there, verse 5, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion." Whose hearts is set on pilgrimage. You know, pilgrimage is a pilgrim's journey, or a religious journey, if you want to think of it that way. And so when you think of a person making a religious journey, I think of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, I was never too great at world geography, and even still today, I probably couldn't find Ethiopia on a map. But thankfully, I have Google Earth. So I don't know if you know where Ethiopia is, and I don't know if you know where Jerusalem is. But if you pull those two up and draw a line between them, I don't know if you can see that in the back, that's 1,700 miles if you flew by airplane. Whose heart is set on pilgrimage. This man is in a chariot going 1,700 miles to worship God. Now, to give you an idea of how far that is, because I haven't traveled 1,700 miles in a chariot, that's the same distance as leaving this building and going to Los Angeles in a chariot. Now, even though it was the time of the New Testament, this man lived under the old law. He didn't know the difference yet. Part of that law would be Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. No one who has been emasculated may enter the assembly of the Lord. And a eunuch is a person that's been emasculated. So he can't go into the worship assembly. So he's traveling 1,700 miles in a chariot to sit in the parking lot while people worship. That's somebody who is dedicated. He's going across an entire continent just to worship God. Now, I don't know of anybody personally, or at least maybe I should say I didn't know of anybody personally who had that kind of dedication. But as many of you guys know, I grew up in Birmingham. So I'm talking to a friend who still lives in Birmingham last week, and he was going to a VBS, and he said, there's a family from Oklahoma here at VBS this week. And I said, oh, that's neat. What are they in town for? And he said, they're in town for VBS. I was like, yeah, but I mean, what did they come for? And he said, they came for VBS. From Oklahoma? Yeah. He said, they do it every year. I said, really? He said, yeah, they have five kids. The oldest one just joined into the military, but they pack up and they come and they go to VBS with us every year. I'm thinking, all the way across the country? That's dedicated. That's a lot more dedicated than I am, for sure. And he said, yeah, they're going to be moving to Alabama pretty soon, guy. And I said, wow, that's neat. He said, they're moving to Ardmore. I said, Ardmore, Alabama? I said, give me their address. If they'll drive halfway across the country to go VBS, maybe they'll come halfway across the county to go to church with us. I need that kind of role model. That's the way the psalmist was. That's the way the eunuch was. They loved to worship, and distance wasn't a problem. I'll travel whatever it is. Why? Because it means that much to them. They go from strength to strength. What do you do to be satisfied? What's your downtime? You know, I got a couple listed up there. Some people like hunting or fishing, shopping, golf, spending time with your family, reading a book, going to yard sales. Some people play video games. Some people like sports. Some people like outdoor activities, going camping. Some people like gardening. I don't understand that one. But whatever your hobby is, this is our downtime. This is what I do to relax. This is what I do to get refreshed. And some people chase after these things. So it's not just a hobby, but it becomes their main goal or direction in life. You know, that's all they think about is doing these things. And Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So, you know, there's some things that we do to become refreshed, some things that are hobbies, but, you know, we realize that these things are temporary. So this is not our ultimate goal to do these things, but to chase after God wholeheartedly. So in other words, what this man is saying, from strength to strength, blessed is the man who gets his fulfillment, who gets his refreshment from worship service when he worships God. Blessed is the man who's gratified and satisfied when he's worshiping God rather than doing something else. Blessed is the man whose highlight of his week is worshiping God. That's what the psalmist is trying to say. What does he know? Why is he saying that? He says, till each of us appears before God. He knows that we're on a journey. He understands that we're on a journey. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Heaven is the destination. We're on a journey. You know, and I remember as kids, we would go on vacation somewhere, and we'd pack everything in the car, and we'd ride for a while. And then when we would cross the state line, we would stop at the rest stop. And I don't know if they still do this or not, but used to, when you stopped at the rest stop, you go in, and they'd give you a little Coke. And they might have some kind of granola bar or cookie or something like that. So I remember as kids, we'd get out of the car, we'd go running in, we'd get our refreshments, and, you know, my parents would let us stay there. 10, 15 minutes, you get out and you stretch and you run around or whatever, and it refreshed you. And then you get back in the car and continue to travel to whatever the destination was. Well, in this life, we understand we have a destination. Christians understand that. The world may not understand that, but Christians, we understand that. We have a destination. We're trying to get to heaven. And what the psalmist is saying, worship service is the rest stop. You know, that's our time where we can stretch our legs, so to speak. We can be renewed. We can put away the cares of the world, all the baggage, leave it in the car, and just be in the presence of God. That's why he's so excited about it. That's why he's looking forward to it. Life's tough. And there are a lot of people who start the Christian journey who quit. Why? They don't take advantage of the rest stops. They burn out. It's what they do. So the psalmist understands the journey. And then in the middle of this psalm, he prays a very short prayer. Two verses. Verses 8 and 9. He says, "Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Hear me, shield me, favor me." Simple and powerful. God, I am on a journey. My life is a journey to try to get to you. Hear my prayer, shield me, favor me. Why? Because there's some obstacles in this life. And at the top of that list of obstacles is an adversary who doesn't want us to make our destination. 1 Peter 5:8 says the devil is an enemy that is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We understand that his temptations, as Ephesians 6 tells, are like flaming arrows coming at us. 2 Corinthians 2 tells us he's schematic. He's always thinking of ways that he can trip us up. He's always thinking of ways that he can stop us. Everywhere we go, he's always trying to think of how he can make us quit, make us stop worshiping God, how he can burn us out. And yet the psalmist understood worship is a rest stop. It's a time to be rejuvenated. It's a time to be refreshed. It's a time to be refocused so that I can continue on this journey, which has many obstacles. Christian life is full of traps. You know, I wouldn't want to mislead anyone and say you become a Christian and temptation goes away. That's not the truth. It is full of traps. But as Christians, we have God as our shield. And the comforting thing is to know that Satan cannot stop God from saving us. He cannot do it. John chapter 6 and verse 38 starting, Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me," that is the Father. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at that last day." What does he say? He says, "I'm not going to lose." Well, isn't that refreshing to know that we can be on the winning side? To know that I'm trying to make it to heaven, and if I will give my best effort, God will not let Satan stop me. That is refreshing. That is a powerful message. To know that I will not fail on this journey. Now, will I have slip-ups along the way? Sure, I'm human. But if I continue, if I remain faithful, as we said in the children's class, I will make it. That gives me a lot of confidence. That gives all of us a lot of confidence. He cannot stop us. Maybe that's why in verse 10 he says this, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you." Better is one day in God's house than a thousand anywhere else. So you see the question, what is your dream vacation? I bet you got one. So I would really, really, really like to go to Italy someday. I think I would like the landscape. I think I would like the architecture. And most importantly, Matt, I think I would like the food. I would really like to go to Italy. But what the psalmist is saying, whether it's Italy or the sandy beach of Hawaii or wherever it is you want to go, one day in God's house is better than 1,000 anywhere else. It's better than 1,000 separated from God, is the message he's trying to get. He said, I would rather be the lowest person in God's house than the highest, most exalted person anywhere else in the world. Why does he say that? Because that's how great church can be. You always think of it that way? I don't. I'll be the first to admit it. That's how great church can be when it is what it's supposed to be. Get behind people in traffic and they have a bumper sticker that says, I'd rather be hunting, I'd rather be fishing, I'd rather be golfing. If the psalmist was alive today, his bumper sticker would say, I'd rather be at worship. That's how he felt about it. It was the thing he looked forward to the most in this life. I would rather be at worship. And when worship is the way God designed it to be, then church is the best possible place we can be. And so for each of us, we need to come in with the attitude of joy and of expectation that we're going to make church the best that it can be, not only for ourselves, but for everybody else who's here, and contribute to the worship of God and praise Him and honor Him in a way that He deserves, with an attitude from us that He deserves. There's no other place in the world that can give us what God can give us. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. What can the wicked offer? Jesus says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what would anyone give in exchange for their soul? Psalm 73, the psalmist there says, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Philippians, Paul says this in the third chapter. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. He said, the things I've lost, they were nothing. Why? Because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, that I may gain Christ. You know, what is it in this world that we hold on to? What is it that we elevate above worship? What is it that we elevate above being here and being with other Christians and worshiping God? That's why the psalmist says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. In verse 11, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. The apostle Paul says virtually the same thing in Romans 8. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Those who love him. In the young people's class this morning, we talked about that. Not just doing the right thing, but having the right emotion, having the right feeling, and doing it for the right reasons. You know, that's the difference between a Christian and someone who is a hypocrite or someone who is an actor. One may do the truth, but their motives aren't what they should be. What God desires is people who do the truth because they love Him, because they want to serve Him. It says God is our sun and our shield. Sun offers light to guide us. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But the sun also offers warmth when you feel cold. Psalm 103, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. When you feel cold, when you feel withdrawn, when you feel distant, spiritually, if we will look to God, if we will look to His word, He is like the sun. It's a light that directs us. It's a warmth that will draw us in when we understand everything that He's done for us. But also it says He is a shield. In Psalm 121, He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. He offers protection. You know those bad things, those negative things I mentioned earlier? God can protect us from further negative things in our life if we have faith in Him. But not only protection, shade when you're exhausted. That's what a shield can offer. Continuing down in the same verse, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. He's shade. Shade is refreshing, especially this time of year. You go outside and it's hot, but then you go find a spot under a tree or on the porch or find a swing, and it feels pretty nice. And the psalmist says, that's the way God is. He is a shade that refreshes me when I get burned out. And maybe we all get burned out sometimes as Christians. God can refresh us. If we will allow Him, He can refresh us. As we conclude, we will conclude the same way the psalm concludes. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in You. Those who have been following along with the Bible puzzle know God gives great blessings. Why do I want to be in the presence of God? Because God gives the greatest blessings of all. In this life, and especially in eternity. What we're all trying to get to anyway. That's the truth that we've seen from this chapter. So the writer of this psalm, he loved to worship God. He said it was better to spend one day near God than 1,000 days anywhere else. In God's presence, joy, peace, protection, grace, glory, and every good thing. That's why we want to worship God. That's why we want to be in His presence. And that's the way we'll spend eternity in heaven. As we conclude tonight, we're going to conclude with an invitation song, as we usually do. And I want to ask you, where is your journey headed? Only you can answer that question. Are you on a path that leads to heaven? Maybe you're a Christian, but you have been burned out. And you want to rededicate your life tonight. This is a great opportunity to do that. Or if you're not a Christian, you'll not get a better opportunity. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come.